محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. رمضان كريم. So what we are doing today is we're going to look or focus on Juz 14. It is predominantly two surah of the Quran, surah number 15 and surah number 16. Just something about today. You might see a pink moon today. So today and tomorrow you'll see this massive pink moon. So please look outside. They don't come very often, but you can have a look at them. Just so we can do an overview. I've said this so many times, but sometimes repetition is good. Enough at the dhikra, Quran says. There is always a benefit in repetition. Quran revealed in ayat, 6,236 ayat, basically. That's how the Quran is revealed. When it is compiled together, again by the laws of divinity, the Prophet puts them into chapters or surah, 114 of those. It is only divided to 30 ajza for the convenience of being able to recite it in a month. The Quran is in essence a reflection of Allah's speech. Now it is His words, and you can imagine they are then manifested on the human being's tongue. It's an honor to actually repeat them on the tongue, on tongues like ours. So Juz 14, surah number 15 and surah number 16. Journaling in essence is just so that we personalize the Quran, so we can engage with it. It's literally to inspire ourselves to connect to the Quran. And if this little kiddo can do it, I mean, I don't see anybody who cannot do it. Always entry requirements. When I say entry requirements to Quran City, it's literally before you pick up the Quran, try and do wudu, recite in Arabic. We'll see how today, where it comes from, seek protection from shaitan. To enter in his name, to pronounce the ultimate declaration of independence, which is La ilaha illallah. And then this beautiful dua, Walzam qalbi hifza kitabika kama allamtani. Make me commit my heart to your book as you have taught me. In other words, make me love this. I just want to fall in love with this book. I want to fall in love with you. That's basically what we're trying to say. So this is what we're going to focus on. Hijr and Nahl. We've got three knickknacks in here, 1587, 1618 and 1668. No prizes for guessing what 1668 is all about. 1618, unable to compute his blessings. And 1587, it's about the revelation of Surah Al-Fatiha, and we'll come to it inshallah. But first we'll look at Surah Al-Hijr, and I'll show it to you in my Quran. So as you can see, I've printed it out from the website. I also print out the other sheet and I sort of stick it up there. These are just notes that I make, but I put up their arrogance because it's in essence, it's about those who defied the Prophet, who are against the Prophet, and then it links on to Shaitan, and it's really all about arrogance. So the moment you think Hijr, think of arrogance. I've put up there, Hijr is the region where Thamud lived. So the name is from Ayah 80, and we'll come to it as well. It actually is this tract, this rocky tract as such, that was about 150 miles away from Medina. And this is where the people of Thamud lived. So let's go back. And the first ayah we're going to look at is Ayah 9. And if you look at Ayah 9, it's very simple. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. Indeed, it is us who have revealed the reminder. Dhikr is to remind. Reminder means it's already, the laws of the Quran, the basics are already inside here. A reminder wakes them up. Wa inna lahu lahafidhun. He will look after it. He says, I will protect it. If this to protect. I will be its protector. So the Quran's not going anywhere. We can't do anything to it. In other words, it's always looked after. And I've highlighted it over there and I've drawn a Quran in the corner there. Next ayah we're going to look at is 39 to 42. Let me just come here and have a look at this. Okay. So now this is basically talking about Shaitan. Okay, so let's have a look and see what it is. Let me take you first. Right from the start. Let's start from 32 so you can see what happens. So, in fact, if I go a bit further, you can see where it starts. I've put their creation of Adam, you can see. So, when Allah creates Adam, He says to the angels, see what He says? He tells them, for either sawaita wa nafakta, He puts His spirit into Him. And then He tells them, can you please go sajidin? Can you do sajda? For sajda al malaikatu, they all do sajda. كلهم أجمعون all of them إلا إبليس أبى أن تكون مع الساجدين. He refused. He said, I'm not going to do it. He refused to do sajda. So when you look at ayah 32, he's asked, Oh Iblis, Ya Iblis, ما لك إلا تكون مع الساجدين. What excuse have you got? He says, Kala, how can I do sajda to somebody that you've created out of this dark black mud? I can't do sajda. And that's his arrogance. That's where arrogance comes in. And so he's told, go out. As you can see, it comes all the way down. And now we're going to come to ayah 39. Okay, let's see what he says. قَالَ رَبِّي بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. You know what I'm going to do? I will make the life of the world. I will show them the beauty in the earth. And I will misguide them far away so they can't find their way back. إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلِصِينَ. Except those servants of yours who are granted sincerity by divinity. قَالَ هَذَا صِرَاطٌ عَلَيَّ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. And he's told, this is a path that is on me to show. And then Allah tells him, إِنَّ عِبَادِي. Surely my servants, لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانٌ. You will have no authority over them. إِلَّا مَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ. Except those who follow you and are led far away from you. So see how I've highlighted it here? I've put it down here. Just so we know that he makes the life of the world seem beautiful. Right? Now see what Allah says to him. He says, وَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَا لَمَوْعِدُهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. And Jahannam is the promised place for all of them. لَهَا سَبْعَةُ أَبْوَابٍ. There's 8 doors in Jannah, 7 in Jahannam. لِكُلِّ بَابٍ مِّنْهُمْ جُزْءٌ مَقْسُومٌ. And every gate has its own category of people. That's what it says. So if I go back, you can see I've put Jahannam, I've put Sab'a, I've highlighted 7 gates, and I put every gate has a separate category. We've got a hadith of the Prophet which tells us what each category is as well. But then he says after that, and I'll just go over it for you, where he talks about those who have taqwa. They will be in jannatin wa uyun, udkhuluha bi salamun aminin. They will be secure and they will enter in. And the lovely bit about this ayah is that they will have no enmity, none whatsoever. And then in ayah 48 he said, they will not be exhausted, nor will they be ever expelled from here. So there's a comparison between those who go to Jahannam and those who go to Jannah. And then look what he says. I love this ayah. He says, Nabbi ibadi, tell my servants, tell those who are attached to me, Anni, definitely, an al ghafur rahim, that I am ghafur and I am rahim. That is Allah's introduction to us as human beings. He says, I am Ghafoorul Rahim. Everybody's introduction or everybody's CV is the bit they want you to know about. And he says, I want you to know that I am Ghafoorul Rahim. Now we go to where this ayah comes from. But before we do that, anytime you see a prophet, you could highlight it, Ibrahim, Lut, so you know where they come from. Okay? But we're going to look at ayah 80. وَلَكَدْ كَذَّبَ أَصْحَابُ الْحِجْرِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And the dwellers of the rock, the people, the companions of the rock as such, they rejected the messenger. So in essence, they are known as Ashabul Thamud as well, right? So I've put it down here if you look. So they were known as the people of Thamud. They were known as Ashabul Hijr, 150 miles away from Medina. It was a rocky tract, and this is where Prophet Saleh was sent. You could above it put Acre, and highlight that, and that's where Shu'aib was sent. These are the two prophets in this surah that are not mentioned by name. So we will have mentioned by name Ibrahim and Musa, for example. They are mentioned by name. Ibrahim and Lut, sorry, are mentioned by name. But Saleh and Shu'aib are just indicated by them. So you could highlight that and put their names in there as well. Now we come to ayah 87. Now they mocked the prophet. They said that he was an orphan. Oh my goodness, he also went to live at his wife's house because he moved in with Sayyidah Khadija. So what has this God given you as a prophet? And this ayah is revealed. وَلَكَدْ آتَيْنَاكَ. We have given you سَبْعًا مِّنَ الْمَثَانِ. 7 of the twice repeated verses. والقرآن العظيم, and this awesome Quran. So you can see here. So the response of what you have been given was the greatest treasure of all, Surah Al-Fatiha. So put Surah Al-Fatiha there. I put there mock the Prophet, so I remember. But you know that this is talking about Surah Al-Fatiha, which is revealed twice, once in Makkah and once in Medina. Now we come to Ayah 88, which is up here. Let's look at it first, okay? So Allah says, لا تمدن عينيك. Don't strain your eyes. It means, don't, how shall I put this? Don't be impressed. إلا ما متعنا به. What we have given them to enjoy for a little bit. أزواج منهم. Now, let me try and explain أزواج. When groups have a lot in common, when any group has a lot in common, then they're known as زوج, and the plural is أزواج. So, don't be impressed by what is being given to them. ولا تحزن عليهم. And, you know, don't be sad about them being lost, because they're so engrossed in their worldly life, they're a bit lost. But Allah says, وَحْفِذْ جَنَاهَكَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Lower your wings for those who believe. The Prophet, you know, he was really a merciful, رَحْمَةُ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And he wanted those, the leaders of the Quraysh, the ones who were so arrogant, he wanted them to believe. So he kept on talking to them. But here Quran is saying, just leave them alone. You focus with your mercy on those who believe. So you can see that. I put lower your wings here because this is wahfidh janaka, means lower your wings, but it means be merciful. And I've put up there, when groups have a lot in common, they're known as zawj or azwaj. Okay. The next ayah we're going to look at is ayah 91. Okay. Let me just move this so you can see it. So let's go back here. الَّذِينَ جَعَلَ الْقُرْآنَ إِذِينَ. Those who made the Quran, or took the Quran, and then إِذِين tore it into pieces. In other words, it means those who pick and choose. Okay, so let's go back to my Quran and you can see. So in other words, those who studied piecemeal. They tore it into pieces, but they pick and chose it. Now, I quoted Plato here. And Plato said, and this he said, is the reason why the cure of many diseases is unknown to the physicians of Hellas, because they disregard the whole, which ought to be studied, for the part cannot be well unless the whole is well. The Quran has to be studied as a whole, and that's why we did Quran City, because in essence it is an overview. You can't say, I like this part and I don't like the other. The study must be cohesive. You must reference one with the other. And thus being able to look at the whole Quran. And this is what I've put here, so I don't forget where I put, I like this part and I don't like the other, and I will pick and choose. And that's not what happens. So maybe you could put that in and write that down. You could put that there. At the end I've written, the surah ends where it begins. What you have is incredible. This Quran is incredible. And it doesn't need outside validation. If you look at the beginning of the surah, that's what it says. So those that mock, he says, let them be. You know, it'll not make a difference when they mock. And then it talks about pondering and reflection over creation. You can look at this in the building. There's a story of Iblis, which is, this is the third time after Baqarah and Araf, but different dimensions. And then, like I said, Ibrahim and Lut are mentioned by name. Saleh and Shuhayb are not mentioned, but they're pointed towards, or they're indicated towards. So now we're going to go to Surah An-Nahl. Okay, and again, I've done the same thing. I've cut it out and I've stuck it in. And then I've put their divine blessings, and I've put life has a purpose. So if we look at Surah An-Nahl, it is reflections on the blessings of divinity in creation. It's the attitude of those who covered up the truth, follow revelation, and then at the end you have the following of revelation and calling humanity towards divinity. But if you look at my Quran at the top, I've put divine blessings, because this surah is also known as An-Ni'am here, or Al-Ni'am, and it is a surah of blessings, because it points towards the blessings of Allah in creation, and it's really, really phenomenal. So the first thing we're going to see is Ayah 4, and I'm going to take, if I can, and show you how I do this. Okay, so if you look at Ayah 4, I'm going to go back to here so you can see it. He says, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ. We created the human being from a small seed. فَإِذَا هُوَ خَسِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. And look at him now. What does he do? Suddenly, he argues about me. So Allah is saying, you are a bit of najis fluid as such. You, that's all you were. And now all of a sudden, you are arguing and saying that you are right and I am not. So I've highlighted right this right now in front of you in orange. Okay. The next ayah is ayah 18. So if you look at ayah 18, and he says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ. We saw this in Surah Ibrahim, ayah 34. So you could cross-refer. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُعْصُهَا. If you were to count Allah's favors, you would not be able to compute them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah is forgiving and merciful. And remember in Surah Ibrahim, ayah 34, he said, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلَّامٌ كَفُورٌ. He continually is ungrateful. Okay, so if you look at here, and I would then put a cross reference, and I would put 1434, and I could put here Ladhalumun, and you can write it in Arabic if you want, but for your sake I'll write it in English, Ladhalumun kafur, continually ungrateful. Okay. And then straight after he says, Allah knows what you conceal and what you do openly. So the next ayah we're going to look at is ayah 19, and I will highlight it. I'm trying to get a green because that's what I do for Allah. So, Wallahu ya'lamu, there you go. Wallahu ya'lamu ma tusirruna wa ma tu'linun. He knows absolutely everything, so you can't mess around with him. Then we're going to look at ayah 28. Now this gets slightly scary. الَّذِينَ تَتَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. Those whom the angels cause to die. ظَالِمِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. While they are unjust to themselves. فَأَلْكَوُ السَّلَمَ مَا كُنَّا نَعْمَلُ مِنْ سُوءٍ. You know, they don't even offer submission, but they make excuses. They say, مَا كُنَّا نَعْمَلُ مِنْ سُوءٍ. They denied that they were doing wrong. Bala, inna Allah alimun bima kuntum ta'malun. Allah knows what you did. So they will deny right to the end. In other words, they do not believe that they are watched over. They don't believe that there's anybody watching them. You know, very often in my grandmother's or my mother's generation as well, they would always say when somebody was doing something wrong, they would say, don't they fear Allah? Do they not have the fear of Allah? And that's exactly what this ayah is saying. So if you look here, we'll come here. I've highlighted it in brown. I've put down here, whilst they're doing wrong, the angels are taking them. But whilst they're doing wrong, they're saying that they're not doing anything wrong. So the angels take their souls whilst they're doing wrong. And they deny it's wrong because they've made themselves believe that it is not wrong. Right, now we will go to ayah 40, so you can turn the page. So if you look at 40, Allah says, إِنَّمَا قَوْلُنَا لِشَيْءٍ. And you all know this from Surah Yasin. Our word for a thing, إِذَا أَرَدْنَا, whenever we want to do it, أَن نَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. We say, be and it is. Judgment is kun fayakun. Everything is kun fayakun. So you can see that. You can probably write it down. 1640 here. And you could highlight it. It's that. And you could refer it to Surah Yasin. And you could, Surah Yasin is number 36. And you could put the ayah there. There you go. So you could do that. Right. And just under this, you will see, وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا فِي اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا ظَلَمُوا. But those who have a paradigm shift, who do hijrah after مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا ظَلَمُوا. Look what he does. After they have, you know, injustice has been done to them. So he said, نَنُبَوِّئَنَّهُمْ. We will give them فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً, in that world, you know, goodness. And وَالْأَجْرُ الْآخِرَةُ أَكْبَرُ. Their ajr in the akhirah will be even greater. لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. If only they knew. الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. And who are they? They are those who do sabr. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. So they have sabr and they have trust in Allah. Okay. So the next ayah we're going to look at is ayah 58. Now see what happens. Let's go there. Okay. وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى, when a daughter is announced to them, ذَلَّ وَجْهُهُ, they feel embarrassed, their faces are embarrassed, مَسْوَدًّا, they become dark, وَهُوَ قَذِيمٌ, and they're so angry when a daughter is announced to them. So what happens? Let's have a look. So here we go. So when a daughter is announced to them, their faces become black and they're full of anger. Can you see? I've put daughter then. What do they do? He hides himself. Can you see that? Right here. يَتَوَى مِنَ الْقَوْمِ, he hides himself from his people. مِنْ سُوء, from the ugliness. He thinks that's awful, which was announced to him. بَشَّرْ بِهِ, so he thought that was really, really bad. Then what happens? And then in his mind, he has a thought process. Shall I keep her, يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ, or shall I just bury her in the earth? Ala sa'a ma yahkamun, how evil it is of what they judge. What a horrible decision he has made here. So he's saying to himself, should I keep her? Or shall I face this humiliation? Or shall I bury her? It's awful. Surah At-Taqwir, ayah 8 and 9. وَإِذَا مَوْءُودَةُ سُعِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ, the day of judgment will be that, when the newborn baby girl will ask, for what sin was I buried? And yet the Prophet said, there you go, I've stuck that here, and you can do that too. If you have three daughters, you're guaranteed Jannah, if you behave well to them, good to them. If you have three sisters and you behave well to them, if you treat them well, you're guaranteed Jannah too. Isn't that awesome? Absolutely awesome. Now where the bee comes from. There you go. So I will go here. وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ, and your Rabb inspired, إِلَى النَّحْلِ, he inspired the bee. أَنْ اتَّخَذِ مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا, make your houses in the mountains, وَمِنَ الشَّجَرِ, and in the trees, وَمِمَّا يَعْرَشُونَ, and in these high buildings, arasha, high tall buildings that human beings make. And then he says, ثُمَّ كُلِي مِنْ كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ, eat of all the fruits. فَسْلُكِي سُبُلَ رَبِّكِ, then walk, فَسْلُكِي سُبُلَ رَبِّكِ, in the paths of your Rabb, ذُلُلًا, in humility. You know, ذُلُلًا also means sort of helpless as such, but in essence, she follows precisely the path which Allah ordained for her, for the bee. So if you look at a bee, it never goes in straight lines because it sort of goes zuza, you know, all this way and that way. That's where the word zuza comes from. And that's because she follows exactly what Allah tells her. You know, for you and me, it's to say that if a bee can follow his edict, so can we. يَخْرُجُ مِن بُطُونِهَا, we take out from her stomach, شَرَابٌ مُقْتَلِفٌ أَلْوَانُهُ, a drink which has many colors. If you put honey under the sun, you will see these beautiful colors. فِيهِ شِفَاءٌ لِلنَّاسِ, it is a healing for people. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, in this there is a sign for people who reflect. So let's go back. I've cut this out from my poster, which is on the website. Stuck it there. I've drawn a mountain. Put flowers there and trees and my pot of honey. Oh, you can see my pot of honey there. Can you see that? And exactly what I told you, I've written out so I don't forget. That's how a bee goes, by the way. A bee never flies straight because it follows what Allah has ordained it to follow. The next thing we're going to look at is Ayah 97. Okay, so let's go. What does it say? مَنْ أَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى, whoever does a single good deed, whether man or woman, or whoever acts righteously, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, and they believe. So the condition is belief and good deeds. فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا, we will give them a beautiful, immortal, pure life to live. وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ, and on top of that, we will compensate them with أَجْرَهُمْ, with an أَجْر, بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, with the best of what they did. So in other words, he will not look at all our deeds, just the best. And he will give the ajr for the best. I mean, where can you find a rub like that? So you can see that. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى, and I've put حَيَاتٍ طَيِّبًا in yellow. I've put immortality. I've put a pure life. And I've also put this, so I know it's a single good deed, righteously. Everything I've told you, I put in a post-it note, so I don't forget. Getting old, tend to forget that. And this is where it comes from. 98. Why we say A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ, when you recite the Quran, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ, seek refuge in Allah, مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, from the guilty shaitan. And you can see I've highlighted it in green over there. I'll move this so you can see it. Right? Seek refuge from shaitan. So when we talked about good deeds here, this follows on. The greatest of good deed is to recite and follow the Quran. When he says, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا, so the greatest amal that is salih is to recite and follow the Quran, and that's how it follows. And you can only do it if you seek refuge from the Quran. So I'll stick that back on. So now we go to a verse that is absolutely phenomenal. And before that, let me just show you a little bit, okay, so you know where we are. So here we have ayah 113, or rather ayah 114, which says, therefore, eat of what Allah has given you, halal, lawful and good things, and give thanks to Him. I'm just going to read it again. فَكُلُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا. And we've done this before. Always eat halal and tayyib. And then, وَشْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. And then say thanks to Him. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And in Ayah 115, it tells you what He has made haram. And you can see I put blood there. We've done this before, but it's a repetition, and you can cross refer it here. And I put a little pig there. Innama haram harrama alaykum al-maytata, that which dies of itself, wa dama, and blood, wa lahma al-khinzir. If you remember, if you look back, you will know where it is. I'm not telling you because that's your homework. You will do it. Wa ma uhillu li ghayri Allahi bihi. And that over which any other name than that of Allah has been invoked, you will not eat it. That's why he says li ghayri Allah. So four things he says over there. And then he says, unless you are driven to necessity. So you could probably do that as well. You can see here, I put Ibrahim as well. But we're going to look at ayah 125, with which we're going to end. Ud'u ila sabili rabbika. Call to the way of your Rabb with three things, okay? Bil hikmah, maw'izatul hasana, and wajadilhum billati hiya ahsan. Three things. The first thing is wisdom. The second thing is maw'izatul hasana, beautiful words. And the third thing is when you debate, always debate with something that's better. Now there's three types of people. You have the general public who need maw'izatul hasana. They need beautiful words. Majlis is about beautiful words. It's about telling people about Sabili Rabbika in a way they will understand. Then you have another group of people who are the elite. These are the people who control the economies of the world. These are the people who work really, really hard. If you want to call them to the way of the Rabb, you need wisdom. They will not take nonsense. They will not take wahwas. They just need proper wisdom to understand. And the third group of people are those people who always want to oppose Islam. They're always stuck with their things, and to them, the way of the Rabb is wrong. So to them, you need to debate with something that is better. Now, all of us can do maw'izatul hasana. We can call with beautiful words, never with something that is not beautiful. That's what the Quran is all about. That's how it works. So you can see, I've written it down here. Three levels. Hikmah, which is wisdom. Maw'idhatul hasana, which is beautiful words. And I put majlis there. And jadilhum billati hiya ahsan. Debate with that which is better. Not only in your response, but in your ethics as well. And then I put three groups of people. You have the general public. You have those who defend their own ways, and they always want to argue. And then you have the elite. So with the mutalaf of the Prophet, the elite were the Prophet, the poets, and the leaders of Quraysh. And so the Prophet had to talk to them in a different way. Inshallah, we will look at Juz 15 tomorrow. So for today, Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka anta as-sami'ul 'alim. So fi umani al-aqareem, inshallah, we will see you tomorrow.